be selfish, because this is your life, not your kid's life, not your husband's life, not your boss's life. This is your life. Be selfish, because when you do, you give that away to others. You give them permission to love themselves. And this is what's missing in the world, self-love. And that comes from women accessing their personal power. It's what I believe.
Welcome to the Midlife Reinvention Podcast. I'm your host, Kavita, and the founder of Power Purpose Play, a global community of women in midlife. I'm here to tell you that it's your time now to rediscover what has always been inside of you and bring that out into the world. If you're wondering what's next, but don't know quite what that is, or if you feel a twinge in your heart telling you that you have so much more to do and so much more to offer, you're in the right place. Ask yourself, if not now, when? Do you want to leave your job, start your own business, take control of your health, reignite the passion in your marriage, write that book, or at least that first chapter? Transitions like this can be daunting, but through listening to my story and interviews with incredible women every week, I hope to inspire you to take action. I rediscovered myself after the age of 50, and I know you can too. It's my time now to help you do just that. I'm so excited you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, my dear friend, and welcome to another episode of the Midlife Reinvention Podcast. I hope you're doing well and enjoying a beautiful fall season. As you may know, we are just outside of Toronto, and this fall has been just so gorgeous. As I look outside my window, the leaves are so bright, all bright colors everywhere, and is that crisp, invigorating fall air. My husband and I were able to take a trip to Niagara-on-the-Lake on the weekend, and if you haven't been there, it's really a beautiful region with wineries and golf and a little town by Lake Ontario, and really a must-see. It's really like a slice of heaven almost. And it's also election day in the United States, and I'm sure that some those of you who are in the U.S. are anxious for the results. A lot at stake in this election, so I hope you have the opportunity to vote for what you believe in. I know these podcasts have been a little sporadic as of late, but as you know, I've been traveling back and forth to see my mom, who recently had a stroke, but so happy to share that she is doing well and will be returning home from the hospital tomorrow. As a result of this experience for my family, it's kind of been like a wake up for all of us. And a recent article I recently shared on LinkedIn by Deepak Chopra speaks so well to that. He talks about waking up or enlightenment, and what often gets in the way of this is our stories, our own personal identity, such as tags that we put on ourselves, such as mother or wife or daughter, employee, etc. By defending our stories, we keep our identities intact. And when our identity is disrupted by major events like illnesses or divorce, etc., an inner crisis occurs. He goes on to say, though, that enlightenment lies outside your story. It consists of waking up to new possibilities, including the possibility of an I that isn't defined by your story. In this next episode, I speak with Tina Brigley about all the possibilities that are available to you. She talks about how setbacks are often setups for something bigger and better. We also discuss that when we reclaim our feminine power, we make time for ourselves for our own self-love, and that is powerful. Enjoy this episode and send me a message. What did you think of it? What are some of your thoughts about this podcast? DM me or email me at kavita@powerpurposeplay.ca and let me know if you'd like to set up a complimentary discovery call with me. Is there something in your way which you think of right now as a setback? What do you really want in life? Are you being defined by your story, and do you want some help to wake up to all the possibilities? I can help you, my friend. This is why I'm doing what I do. See you at the end with the key takeaways. Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Midlife Reinvention Podcast. I'm your host, Kavita Ahuja, and I'm the founder of Power Purpose Play, which is a global community of women in midlife. I am also a certified women's midlife transition coach, And my bold mission is to empower 1 million women in midlife worldwide to find their inner power and purpose and to say with confidence, it's my time now. As part of this mission, I interview incredible women for this podcast who share their stories of reinvention and who will give you their advice on how to overcome the obstacles in your way to reach your vision for yourself in the next stage of your life. I first met our next guest earlier this year as a leader of a coaching program, and I was immediately drawn to her energy, enthusiasm, and confidence. She encouraged me to step into my own power, and through our conversation today, I'm sure she will do the same for you. I'm so pleased to have on the show today, Tina Brigley. Tina is an international coach, a TEDx speaker, and a four-time Global Business Award winner. Despite her success, she had to overcome many obstacles to break through personal limitations, and recently a business setback had her reevaluate her priorities and desires. Tina is passionate about helping people reclaim their personal power so that they can become unstoppable. That's amazing. So I'm so pleased to have you on the show today. Tina, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, really.
Yes, thank you. So as I mentioned, Tina, in the introduction, we're here about reinvention, and I have my own reinvention story, and I interview women every week who really tell theirs. And the reason for that is I think when we hear other people's stories, we get inspired to really rediscover our own and move forward in life and discover our true passions and gifts. And so I know that you were formerly an elementary school teacher, and now you're focusing on helping women reclaim their inner power. So if you could tell us the story of how that came about, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So I spent 14 years in education as a teacher. And one day I walked in, I remember it was a Monday morning, and I wished it was Friday. And I noticed I was really wishing my life away. Mondays, wishing it was Fridays. Sunday, wishing I just had another Saturday. Thanksgiving, I wish it was Christmas. And Christmas, I was like wishing for the summer. And I realized I love teaching, but I felt like there was something more inside of me, but I felt really guilty because I went to school for 5 years, had my honors in psychology, my bachelor's degree. I mean, I thought that you go to school, you get a job, you stay in that job forever, and you retire. Mm-hmm. Who am I to want more in my life? And I remember I took a personal development program, and it was a health coaching personal development. And I started transforming. I started taking on my health, my well-being. And I thought, man, what if I did this for others? What if I could actually take this program and give it away to others and become a coach? So I hired a coach, and she asked me this one question: Tina, do you want to be a coach or do you want to be a teacher? And I said, well, of course, I would love to be a coach, but that is just never going to be possible. Pension, benefits, security. I'm a single mom. Nobody quits a $100,000 a year job to just go try something else. And then she said, okay, so what if it is possible? What would you love your life to look at? And she had me creating a vision where I was on stages and all of this amazing stuff. And she said, great, choose. What, you don't understand my life. You just don't choose something else. And 6 weeks later, that phrase, choose, kept like, do you want to be a teacher or a coach? Kept going through my head. And I said, you know what? F it, why not?
Yeah.
What do I got to lose? I'm 40 years old. At the time, I was 40 years old. And I thought, I don't want to wake up when I'm 80 and say, what if when I was 40? Exactly. Where would my life be? And 6 weeks later, I quit teaching. Wow. And I jumped all in my coaching business. And people thought I was crazy. Yes. They asked me, like, are you okay? Do you need to take medication? I know you're going through a lot. You seem uncertain. How could you be so selfish? Aren't you thinking about your kids? What if it doesn't work? And I just kept saying, what if it does?
Mm-hmm.
What if it does?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's scary. Amazing. There's so many things there because I had this very similar path. I talked about that. And I was in the corporate world for over 25 years. And same, very perfect life, it seemed from the outside. Perfect job, perfect, great salary, benefits, all of that. And it was the same. It was like, when is Friday going to ever come? And waking up on Monday morning was just a real challenge. And so I completely hear you. And so many of us are in that kind of boat where this happens and we feel like we're stuck, right? But the fact that you made that conscious choice and you chose that when, and despite what people were saying and people around me were also thought, why are you leaving such stability to go into something unknown? And that's amazing that you did that. And so I'm sure that along the way, you making that decision, there's probably a lot of obstacles that were put in your path. And that's what happens is whether those obstacles are real or perceived, they tend to stop us in our tracks. And so maybe you can describe what was some of your biggest obstacle or one of your biggest obstacle and how did you overcome that? And what would you say to other women based on your experience?
Yeah, so one of the things that comes to mind right now is setbacks are often set ups. And so we see things that happen in life as setbacks. And usually from my experience, they're a setup for something bigger and better. We just can't see it when we're in the moment. So 2017, I started my coaching business. I had lots of success. In 2020, right before the pandemic, I was working with a coaching company and they helped me really blow up my coaching business and receive a lot of success. So I grew to six figures in that year. And they asked me, do you want to be a co-founder of our business? And I thought, what? Give up what I have, my brand, why would I do that? But then there was a part of me that really wanted to grow a business, wanted to grow to the next level. And after some consideration, I said, okay, again, this is my phrase, F it, why not? Let's just do it. And so I jumped all in. And the pandemic hit. We realized we had a very high-end program for coaches and we needed to do something different because the world was in a pandemic. People were afraid. Everybody's online. How do we support people? We completely pivoted. We turned. We changed. We blew up our business to multi-seven figures. Like I said, won 4 global business awards, had our program accredited. Everything seemed really great. Everything was flowing. And then one day when it felt like, whew, now I can let loose of the brakes a little bit, my business partner said, you being part of the co-founding team doesn't work for us anymore. We feel like you're holding us back in our business. We want you to step down and take a client care position or you can leave. That moment was like, I had never been punched in the gut before, but that was like punched in the throat, in the gut, in the heart. Like everything was just, what is going on? And I remember standing in that space and listening to their reasons and considerations and what they were saying. And as they were speaking, I could feel my power starting to rise. I could feel all the things that I wanted to say for the last 2 years that I was too afraid to say was just getting ready to come out of my mouth. And I feel like in that moment, I reclaimed my feminine power because for the first time, I stood up for myself and I stood my ground. And I really shared my experience and what I wanted. What did I truly desire? And I asked myself, like, Tina, is this what you really want? Is this actually a setback right now? Or is this a setup for something better? Mm-hmm. Now, it was scary because, you know, when you have a lot of money coming in, I had just gotten divorced, just bought a house. It was the worst timing ever. But here I am again at this crossroads. Do you want to work with business partners or do you want to go out on your own? Do you want to keep tolerating being in a space where people don't acknowledge or appreciate you? Or do you want to create something new? And in that moment, I just heard what they were saying. And I said, I hear you and I see your view. It's not my view. And I think this is really an opportunity for me to walk away. I think what I needed to do is what I did. And now I'm not going to go any higher in this organization with people that see me as small and incapable. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to walk away. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, it was scary, but it was super alive because I knew
I had to trust that I was going to be able to bounce back, even though it was scary, even though it felt painful, even though all of these feelings and emotions, and feelings of abandonment and feelings of betrayal and feelings of not being able to trust, all of those things, I was just like, okay, just get quiet. Just be present. Just don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past, Tina. Just right here and now, what is it that you desire? And it was life-changing because for the first time in my life, I acknowledged to myself that what I desire matters. How I feel matters. Who I am in the world matters. I matter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. That would have, any other person, I think, would have, that experience would have really beat them down. And like you said, the setbacks we face are often setups. And the way that you phrase that is so important for anyone to listen to and to learn from. And I've had setbacks like that as well. And you look back at them and you think, there was a reason that happened. Mm-hmm. There was a reason that the obstacle was put in my way, because I learned from it and I'm, look at me now, right? And the fact that you actually listened to what you really wanted, asked yourself what you really wanted, trusted that that was going to happen, and then let be present and just let and listen. And that's one of the reasons I put play in Power Purpose Play, is play to me means being present in the moment and listening to what the signs and signals all around you, and take advantage of them, I guess, and really appreciate what's around you and what comes your way, and put yourself out there too. So that's, thanks for sharing that. That's amazing experience that you went through.
I ask myself, like I always say, when things happen in life, I say, how did I source this? Hmm. How am I know that I'm the creator of my reality, and I sourced this happening for a reason. And the truth is, I didn't know how to slow down. I really thought my purpose and my mission in life is so big, I don't have time to slow down. The world needs me, and I need to run on all 10 cylinders all the time. And I was really starting to get burned out. Right. But I didn't know how to slow down. And so when I look back, when I ask myself the question, how did I source this? What's the lesson I got to learn? I got to learn how to slow down. I got to learn that I don't have to hustle and grind my way to the top. Mm. Actually, ease and flow and being more in my feminine power produces better results without run. There's no mountain to climb. And I realized that, because I thought, man, I'm pretty high up on this mountain. And then I realized, oh no, I haven't even touched the surface, but I was running up a mountain with no top. Hmm. And so I felt like I was on a path of real self-destruction. And it's almost like when you're in, for people that might be listening that are in relationships that don't work or something, until you get out of the relationship, sometimes you can't see. When I was in that situation, I could justify running. I could justify working a lot. I could justify everything, because in my mind it was like, because I'm transforming the world. And you get to give up yourself in that process. And I realized, no.
Yeah.
You need to love yourself in the process. Otherwise it's all going to implode anyways.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's how I sourced it. And that's what I got to learn for myself.
That's wonderful. I love when you said you didn't know how to slow down, but I know that recently you went on a solo vacation, I believe. So that really, you really slowed down there. And I read a recent blog that you wrote about that trip you went on. And I think you had learned a great lesson from a person, the man that you met there. And I thought it was a great, great blog and this great story. So maybe you could share that. And what do you mean by reclaiming your life based on that lesson?
Oh man. So part of this journey of self-love and rediscovery and reclaiming my personal power, I made a conscious choice to go on vacation by myself. Now, I didn't realize how many people think that's really strange, especially the customs officers that are like, what? Where are you going? You're going by yourself. Really? People on vacation, you go sit down at a restaurant and people ask you, are you meeting somebody? No, I'm here by myself. You're eating alone? And I said, no. I'm eating with myself. I'm never alone. People thought it was funny, but I used it as a joke, right? If you can be with yourself, you're never alone.
And so I had the intention. I felt like I was at a crossroads because I had trained and developed coaches, thousands of coaches for years on how to grow their coaching business. And so when I separated from my business partners, I thought, this is what I get to do. I'm really good at it. I know how to do it. I get to give this away. But there was another part of me that is really, really connected to personal development in helping people transform their lives, their relationships, their health. And I know that even when people are taking on their business, it's not about the business. It's about the being. And so I said, okay, God, I want clarity on this trip. I'm at a crossroads. Do I keep doing business? Do I do personal development? I have two programs. Which one do I promote? Where am I at? Confusion everywhere. And I'm like, confusion's my friend. I know it's my friend. So just help me get some clarity. And then I really started attracting people that were just like me, that were on a path of personal development. And they were sharing their relationships with me. They were sharing their life with me. They were sharing their upsets, their breakdowns. One person said, I've been drinking every day, doing drugs every day. I lost my motivation. I had a major breakdown in my relationship and sharing. And through like just not coaching, but just being there and listening, he said to me at the end of the week, he's like, I feel like I had a coach in my corner for a week. And I feel like I've transformed my life. No joke. And he started sharing after the trip, how he golfed his best game. He started exercising, doing all of these life changes. I was like, that's pretty cool. Wow. My second last day, I met this man from England. And he was a business owner and he was sharing, you know, he had some setbacks and some breakdowns and sharing his life. And he was just talking. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy talks so much. I need to get away from him. And I'm like, no. Obviously, he gets to have somebody to listen to him. And so the last day there, he invited me for lunch. I was a little apprehensive and I was also, okay, let's go out for lunch. And he sat down and he said to me, oh, Tina, you're really easy to talk to. And I said, oh, thank you. And he said, can I share something with you? It's a little bit vulnerable. And I said, yeah, no problem. What's up? And he said, I actually came on vacation to commit suicide.
Oh my God.
In that moment, my heart was just like, what? He said, yeah, I was in such a deep rabbit hole. I was thinking about all the ways that I was going to kill myself. And I thought maybe going on vacation will pull me out of this rabbit hole. Maybe I'll discover something new for myself. He said, in fact, I have a friend coming on Monday because he's so worried about me. And he said, spending a couple days with you and having somebody to just listen to me and just the way you are and sharing your stories and your setbacks, it made my life seem like, what the heck am I complaining about? This is my breakdown in my relationship is a setup for something bigger. And he said, I didn't know how to get out of the rabbit hole. I didn't know how to pull myself out until I met you. He said, so I want to thank you for saving my life because I'll never have those thoughts again. And I was like, wow. So, I mean, it was so crazy. I kept hearing from people, man, there's something different about you. Something, and I started laughing. And at one point I said to somebody, you know what? If I had a dollar for every time somebody said that on this vacation, I think I'd be rich right now. But then I started thinking, yes, there is. Because I've done a lot of training and development. And this is what I want to give to others. I want others to walk into a room and people say, what's different about you?
Right.
Something's changed. That lights me up. I'm like, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for showing me the signs. Thank you for screaming in my face what I should be doing.
Yeah.
And for me, it just created clarity.
Yes. Wow. That is huge. Like that experience would have, I can't imagine when he must have said that to you, how you must have felt. And I love when you said that you asked for it and you attracted people to you. Because it obviously it's a law of attraction, right? It's like you put it out there to the universe and you ask God, what am I meant to do? And the answers came in the form of the people that came to you, right? And I just find that fascinating. I mean, But the thing is, it could have happened to other people, but you actually listened and you gave the opportunity for that man, for example, to speak his mind and to talk. Whereas others might have said, no, I'm busy. I don't want to go for lunch or whatever. But so that's the difference, right? Is like, listen to the signs. Wow.
Yeah.
If you listen to the signs, there's so much that can happen. So sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. It's intuition, right?
Yeah.
It's setting the intention. My intention is I'm coming to get clarity. I'm not attached to what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm not attached to the results or how. I'm open to receiving because I know that when there's a clear intention, it's always reflected in the results. The results will show up. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm getting those results because I'm very clear with my intention. I want clarity. So now I got to pay attention. What actions do I get to take? Okay, well, you know what? Maybe I get to open myself up to people. Maybe I get to have conversations. And really interesting because when you go to an all-inclusive, there's a lot of partying. There's a lot of drinking. There's a lot of things going on. Yet I was attracting people that wanted to have deep, meaningful conversations in the midst of the party. That to me too was like, where else does this happen? And I was like, oh, it's because of my being. My being will attract those people no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing.
Right.
And I really saw that we all get to be like this no matter mm-hmm. what, no mm-hmm. matter where we are in life, who we surround ourselves with, we can attract new people that are aligned with our vibration.
Yes, yes. I know that you mentioned something. There was another thing that I read about your personal power, you know, and how do we practically, you say, reclaim it? And you talked a little bit about intuition, and there was a story about you eating flies at a restaurant or something. When you said the intuition thing, it reminded me of that story. And I was like, oh, that was a very catchy title. So maybe you want to share that a little bit.
So I took my daughter to a baseball game with a friend and his son, and my friend's son and my daughter are friends. So he said, there's this restaurant that I really wanted to go to. And I said, okay, great, we'll go. So as soon as we walked out to this restaurant, I thought, okay, wait a minute. It's a tavern, first of all, and it's in the middle of like downtown Detroit. I feel like everything around is like abandoned stuff. And it was kind of creepy. It looked like I was walking into a horror film or something. Right away, my gut was like, no, don't go there. And intuitively, I was like, don't eat here. Like, you can go someplace else. But my brain was telling me all the reasons why I should go, because I'll look bad. I don't want to be one of those people that's like, oh, this isn't good enough for me. Yeah. Like all of those thoughts, right? So I walk in, we sit at a dirty table. I'm like, okay, that's strike one. We order our food, we order our drinks. And I remember specifically asking her, I'd like a glass of wine, but can you open a fresh bottle? And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, for sure. No problem. She brings me over this glass of wine with a straw. Okay, anybody who drinks wine knows it's never. So that was kind of like another red flag, right? I get my food. The food is, I mean, bar food at its worst, like frozen chicken breast. I mean, I had a chicken sandwich that was a piece of tomato, a piece of lettuce, frozen chicken breast. I'm pretty sure it was still kind of frozen on the inside. And I'm laughing because I said, see, Tina, you knew. So I'm drinking my wine, and next thing I know, I have chunks like in my mouth. And I thought, oh, what is that? So I grabbed the tip of my tongue and I looked down and I had flies on my finger. So I reluctantly looked inside of my glass of wine to see not just one or two. I'm telling you, there was probably about 100 fruit flies in my glass of wine. They had settled to the bottom.
Oh my God.
I was drinking fruit flies. I could have died. And so obviously that taught me that setback set up. One, it helped me to see the power of intuition and how we actually don't pay attention to our intuition because our brain hijacks us and tells us all the reasons why don't trust your gut. And I feel like as women, when we can reclaim that intuition, when we can slow down enough to listen,
when we can really ask ourselves what it is that we desire, like, what do I desire right now? Hey, this is a night out for me. I don't get a lot of nights out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to eat at a tavern. I didn't have the confidence to maybe disappoint somebody. And I felt a little guilty. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Where else is this showing up in my life where I don't have the confidence to speak the truth until after there's an impact? Where else is it showing up that I'm afraid of looking bad? Where else is it showing up where I dim my light to please other people? I'm like, oh my goodness, everywhere. So like, oh, thank you for that cup of flies.
Yeah.
So now it was so in my face, like, no. You get to have what you want. Yeah. And you get to let go of the old version of you that is pretending that you don't deserve it.
Right.
And so that experience taught me, no. You get to have what you want and you get to speak up. And if there's a conflict, that's okay, because avoiding conflict is manufacturing fake peace. So we don't want to manufacture fake peace. You want to be able to be confident in what you're asking for. I'm like, yep, I declare.
Yes.
I'm going to ask for what I want and I'm going to get what I need. Yeah. And deal with whatever happens as a result.
Would you like, that's a great story. Does that relate? I mean, when you talk about feminine power, is that what you are referring to? This gut instinct we have? What is so special about our feminine power that, especially like if I think about my audience here, women in generally in 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond, it's like, we've tended to put ourselves last. And my intention by doing this is to help women realize that, no, it's now your time to do what you want to do and to figure out who you are. But my question is, what is so special about feminine power?
Hi, my friend, Kavita here. Do you often feel blocked from moving forward? We all feel that way at times. These are referred to as energy blocks. I've created a short, actionable PDF guide to help you release your negative energy blocks. Click the link in the description to download it now for free. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, so I really believe that we are trained to be contained. We are contained when we're kids. We're told to sit quietly, don't speak out of line, dress nice, look good. That's what we're taught to do. And we're trained to be that way. And when I talk about feminine energy, it's not male versus female thing. I think men and women both need feminine energy. Feminine energy is loving, is kind, is considerate, is in ease and flow. Masculine energy is more driven, more go-getter. And I feel like we need both. We need to be able to have some masculine energy and feminine energy. But feminine power is intuitive. We are very intuitive creatures. We have an innate knowing, but because we're trained to be contained, we're also trained to tune out that intuition, that gut, something doesn't feel right here, or that gut, man, am I really supposed to be here? That gut that says, there's something more for me. But every time we feel that inside of us, we're taught, nuh-uh, no way. You don't, your kids need to come first. Your husband, you know, make sure that he's taken care of and make sure the community's taken care of. Women are powerful. Women are strong. We can take it all. We can put, I've heard this a million times. Tina, get a bigger plate. That's what we do as women.
Yes.
But what we take off our plate is self-love. Mm. What we take off our plate is our desires.
Yeah.
And so when we reclaim that power, we say, you know what? You matter and I matter too. You're deserving, but I'm deserving too. You're valuable, but I'm valuable too. And we get to be selfish. This nonsense about personal development is selfish. Investing in yourself is selfish. Yes, it is. Be selfish because this is your life, not your kid's life, not your husband's life, not your boss's life. This is your life. Be selfish, because when you do, you give that away to others. You give them permission to love themselves.
Yes.
And this is what's missing in the world, self-love. And that comes from women accessing their personal power. It's what I believe.
Yes. Drop the mic on that one. Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, so true. I love that. Get a bigger plate. No.
Here's some laundry and here's some cooking and here's some cleaning and here's this. And oh, wait, you want to go to the gym too? Well, you're going to have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because everybody else needs you. It's
right.
Like, come on. No. Yes. Get up when you want to get up. Go to the gym when you want to go to the gym.
Exactly.
And you fit everybody else around what you want.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a crazy world to live in?
It's unheard of. You mentioned the word courage in what you just said and shared. And I love that, the feminine power. And I also believe that we need both. We need feminine and masculine power. But that word courage, I think, is something that I get a lot from you. Like I see that a lot in you because of all the things that you told me about what you've gone through. And I know that you've also gone through a lot of things in your childhood, and you mentioned you separated, and then with this recent career shift, but you continue to show this resiliency and courage. And I guess my question is that how do we find that within ourselves to develop this courage and to move on? And because often as women, we believe, oh, we're not good enough to do the next thing, or I'm not qualified enough to do this. Or like you said, we're always put in our place. So I think for me is like, how do you advise women to develop the courage to take the next step?
Yeah. So I say it starts with your being, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I commit every single day to who I get to be in the world. And I say to myself, I am a loving, courageous, powerful leader. And every single day, my actions are aligned with that way of being. If I were really being courageous, would I hold myself back from going after that job? Would I hold myself back from taking action? Would I hold myself back from anything? And we need fear to experience courage. And anytime we step outside of the box, the container that we've been put in, it's scary. But every time you do that, you develop the courage, because if you see, oh my gosh, I didn't actually die. Like, I took this scary action and I'm still alive, right? Because our brain is just saying, no, 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 you're going to die. You're going to die if you do that, right? Yeah, unconsciously. Yeah. It's like every time you take a scary action and you don't die and you survive, we survive, you get a little more courageous. So the bolder the actions, the more courage you develop. So I feel like my whole life, there's been a series of really scary things that I've had to do, like applying to university and not really having money to go and working 3 jobs and wondering, should I really go to university, figure everything out. That was scary. Going on my own, being on my own, separating from my husband the first time. That was so scary. It took me 3 years to develop the courage to walk away. So when I talk about courage, it doesn't happen in an instant. I was with my business partners for 2 years. For 2 years, I felt like it was not the place where I should be. I felt like there was something missing. It took a big upset for me to have enough courage. So yes, I talk about courage and it looks like I'm resilient, but sometimes situations force my hand to be courageous because it's big changes are really scary. So it's like, start with something little and gradually work your way up.
Yes, and that's what I tell my clients too, is that you don't have to look at the whole mountain in front of you, the whole staircase. It's like, if you take that one step and that you develop that, you take the step and you say, well, I did that. I can do it. So I can take another step. And then the more, like you said, the bolder actions, the more courageous you develop. I so believe that. And it's around that box that we put ourselves in and stepping ourselves out of that box. And the other thing you mentioned is about some of these trigger points that happen in our life. Transitions like in our life usually occur because there's a trigger. And what happens? What if we took action before the triggers even happened? Do you know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be an amazing world we get to live in where we could just be free to choose? And I always make this distinction too. We go through life making decisions. And this is how I see decisions. If we even look at the root word, we take out the D in sidra, right? D means to cut. And then when we look at sidra, it's like off. So we cut off. And what we're doing when we make decisions, we're cutting off possibilities. And so what we do is we take the past experiences. We're about to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Do I leave my coaching business or do I stay? It's like, okay, well, all the decisions, we're cutting off possibilities. Well, I won't have an income coming in and I'm getting divorced and I'm da, da, da. What we're doing is we're going through this checklist of the pros and the cons, the gains versus the losses. And how we make a decision is if there's more gains and less losses, yes, I'll make that decision. So what we're doing is we're cutting off possibilities.
Right.
A choice, I feel, is a little different. Sometimes we get to choose things because we choose things. Right here, right now, in the present, forget about the past, forget about the future. What is it that I want right now? And when I ask myself, like, Tina, what is it that you want right now? I don't want to be in this situation. Okay, great. Forget about the money. Forget about this. Forget about what there is to lose. Forget about the email list. Forget about the community. Forget about what might work and what might not work in the future. Right now, you get to choose. Choose to stay or choose to walk away.
Hmm.
I choose to walk away. Why? Because I choose to walk away. It's just a choice. I don't need all the reasons and considerations. I can just powerfully choose my life. Mm-hmm. And so when we go through life, starting out going to a restaurant, any, many, mighty, mo, I choose a hamburger because I choose a hamburger.
You know, I love it. I'm going to go out right now and order myself a hamburger.
You know, last time I was here, I got the hamburger, but I didn't really like it. And I kind of feel like something else.
And I really shouldn't be having it because I didn't exercise this morning. And like, it's sort of, yeah.
I choose the hamburger because I choose the hamburger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom. Power. See, because when we're at the effect of something, even like a hamburger, we're judging ourselves for eating a hamburger. We're judging ourselves for the calories. We're judging ourselves for not exercising. We're actually giving our power away all the time.
Mm. That's so great. Yeah. I never really thought of it that way. Like even it's tiniest decisions in life. Why do we overthink them so much?
Because we are trained to be contained. Watch your weight, watch your calories, count your calories, exercise, be healthy, personally develop yourself. It's like, whoa, hello, people. Slow down.
Slow down. I love it.
You choose your life.
Yeah, I love it.
You get to choose to have the burger or not. You get to choose the job that you're in or not. You get to choose the partner you're with or not. And I say this about relationships too. What if you could just choose your partner because you choose your partner? You know, some people are like, oh, I really love this about him, but this drives me absolutely crazy. And if I could just change this, what if you could just choose him or her, the way they are and the way they aren't, how they show up and how they don't show up? I choose him because I choose him.
Yeah. There doesn't need to be any reasons attached to it. There doesn't have to be a litany of decisions or litany of reasons that you should or shouldn't do something. It's again, goes back to your gut. It's because I choose to, because I want it. I want it at this moment. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, that really hit home when my husband and I separated in 2015, we got back together in 18. And then just this past April, January, we decided that we were getting a divorce. And people say, well, what happened? I'm like, he's amazing. He's just not amazing for me. They're like, well, what do you mean? And I said, we got a divorce because we got a divorce. But there must have been a reason. Why did somebody cheat on each other? I'm like, no, we just chose not to be with each other because we started like realizing that we're two different people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got together, we were very different. And we both decided it's not working because it's not working. Not because there's something wrong with him or something wrong with me,
right.
But it's because it's not working because it's not working. And we choose because we choose. Why? We only have one life. And we don't want to be 80 years old looking back and say, what if?
What if?
People say, well, isn't that copping out? I'm like, no, we've been together for 23 years and we've been trying to fix something. And when you're trying to fix something, it just means it's not the right fit because it shouldn't be work in relationships.
Hmm. That's such a healthy way to look at it. It really is. That's a really healthy way to look at it. I applaud you for that, because that's, people stay in relationships and for all these reasons. And you decided, because you're just, it's just not working, and that's it. One person, not blaming the other person or for any other reason. And that's a really, really healthy way to look at all relationships, I think. If somebody, it's not serving you well in your life, let it go, right?
Yeah.
Let it go.
People either bring out the best in us or they don't.
Yes.
We want to surround ourselves with people that can help us grow. And yes. If somebody's not helping us grow, if they're holding us back, that's not your person.
Yes.
In business, in relationships, in life. And people will say to me all the time, well, don't you think you just gave up too quickly? Don't you think? And it's like, no, I think more people should probably throw in the towel a lot sooner instead of spending their whole life trying to fix somebody else. People don't change. You're not changing.
Yeah.
Quiet that person inside of us that's like sabotaging us, but that's never going to go away.
Hmm.
And I could never change my husband, but I was like, but if you were just a little bit more like this, and if you're a little bit softer, and if you were like this, this is who I need. And I'm like, okay, that's not you, but that's not who I need. So I'm really clear. I get to have a partner that makes me feel good.
Yes. Yes.
And not that he can't make somebody else feel good. He just doesn't make me feel good.
Right. Right. Would you say that might be your biggest breakthrough? Is there some other breakthrough in your life that you think is probably your biggest? So what would you say is your biggest breakthrough?
Yeah, well, how we do one thing is how we do all things. Yeah. So when I saw that my relationship with my husband wasn't working, and I had to make a bold, courageous move, and I had to say, it's not working because it's not working and I want a divorce, then I started seeing, oh, shoot. The same things that were going on, the feelings of guilt and the what if. And in my relationship, I was thinking about, oh, if I leave, what's going to happen to my kids? And how would I do this? And then all of the logistics, the psychological assessments, the checklists we go through.
Yeah.
But I noticed that even with my business partners, there was a lot of red flags. And the guilt was keeping me there because I felt like my community was my family. I felt that if I walked away, that there would be no business. And that was keeping me there. I was like, I will do whatever it takes to fix this. People don't change. It's not going to change. So when I saw that in my husband, I saw that. But in my mind, I was like, okay, let me take on one thing before I take on the other thing. But my intention was already, I'm going to pull the plug on this too. But when I'm ready, it just happened sooner. But my intention was clear. I'm pulling the plug. It's just somebody kind of made it, accelerated it a little bit more. Right. And then I started seeing, oh, where else is guilt holding me back?
Hmm.
And it's like, yeah. So I can say I've had a million breakthroughs.
Hmm.
I have breakthroughs every day because I have breakdowns every day. My life is not perfect by any means. Hmm. I mean, yesterday I was crying on my couch for an hour and a half. I was so full of emotion and gratitude and all of this stuff. I was like, where is this emotion coming from?
Well,
like,
it's probably because today your girls went to high school, right? So, I mean, I know I felt the same way this morning. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I saw a lot of these parents in the neighborhood just saying bye and to their kids and the first year of school. And it's all these emotions that come out. It's like, oh my God. Right. So we're not perfect. We're doing our best, right? We're doing our best.
And so, shedding the old and stepping into the new, there's a grieving process that people don't get. And this is the part of transformation. When you're becoming the most aligned version of yourself and you're letting go of the person that's protected you your whole life, that's been people pleasing and being nice and doing everything for everybody. When you let go of that person and step into the more confident, the more self-expressed, there is a process of grieving.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think there was a part of me that was like, I was in gratitude of like, whoa, what have I accomplished in the last 5 months? I can't even believe everything that's happening so quickly. And then I've been doing mirror work and I tell myself, I'm so proud of you for X, Y, and Z. And I forgive you for A, B, and C. And I'm really committed to. So I look in the mirror and I'll do this mirror work. And I'm sitting on my couch and I'm like, man, I'm so proud. And I was just like crying, like, I'm so proud of you for not giving up. And here I am talking to myself, right? Like, I'm my best friend. And this circles back to when you have a relationship with yourself, you're never alone. You're always with yourself.
I love that. I love that. I mean, more people need to really take that in, because that is the best relationship. It's a relationship with yourself. Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So what's next for you, Gina? Tell us what's going on, and what are your plans? What's your...
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm working with 14 one-on-one clients right now. And of course, I love contributing to them, but I'm starting a 90-day total life transformation challenge, which is new. I have a 90-day program, and my intention is to transform 90 lives in 90 days. I'm just going to start with 90 days. I mean, I love your ambitious goal, 1,000,000. You know what? One day I'm going to set that intention. This is like 90 lives in 90 days. And I want to show people the power of transformation and how you can transform your life in 90 days. When you really get committed to yourself and to loving yourself, miracles can happen. Where there was no agreement, you start seeing agreement. Where there was no will, you start finding a will. When there's no way, you find a way. And when people say, your plate is full, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take stuff off my plate so I can put me on my plate.
Right.
And that's what I want to create for people.
That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. Has that started yet, or is that?
It hasn't.
Yeah.
Nope. I haven't launched it. You're the first person, legit, Kavita, to hear about that.
Okay. Well, I'm honored. I'm honored.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Well, when you do launch it, and we'll by the time this comes out, then maybe you will have launched it, and we'll have the links on our show notes. So you can keep me informed on that and send me all the details, and we'll have them in our
it'll be a couple weeks but from now.
Yes. That sounds great. Well, good luck with that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
90 days transformation. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your energy and all the great pearls, and just for sharing your story. It means a lot to me for you to be here. And I think that the listeners have learned a lot from you, and I wish you all the very best and being you and being with yourself. And that's the key, right? So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Gina.
Bye.
I'm sure you enjoyed this episode with Tina Brigley. Her energy and courage is palpable, and I hope you gained a lot of understanding about the benefits of reclaiming your feminine power in your life. It's about being open to the possibilities around us and taking time to love ourselves first. Here are her key takeaways. 1, setbacks are often set ups. We see things that happen in life as setbacks, when in fact, they're usually there for set up for something bigger and better. We just can't see it when we are in the moment. 2, what I desire matters. How I feel matters. Who I am in the world matters. I matter. 3, I know that I'm the creator of my own reality, and I source this happening for a reason. 4, I'm open to receiving because I know that when there is a clear intention, it's always reflected in the results. The results will show up. 5, as women, when we can reclaim that intuition, when we can slow down enough to listen, when we can really ask ourselves, what is it that we desire? What do I desire right now? Then we can reclaim our feminine power. 6, avoiding conflict is manufacturing fake peace. You don't want to manufacture fake peace. You want to be confident in what you're asking for. 7, be selfish. Because when you are, you give away that to the others. You give them permission to love themselves. And that is what's missing in the world, self-love. And that comes from women accessing their personal power. 8, we need fear to experience courage. And any time we step outside of the container that we have put ourselves in, it's scary. But every time you do that, you develop the courage. The bolder the actions, the more courage you develop. And 9, when you have a relationship with yourself, you're never alone. You are always with yourself. The best relationship is the relationship with yourself. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, please share. even with one person, so we can get our message of inner power and purpose to the world. Remember, DM me, email me at kavita@powerpurposeplay.ca, and let me know if you'd like to set up a complimentary discovery coaching call with me. Is there something in your way which you think of right now as a setback? What do you really want in life? Are you being defined by your story, and do you want some help to wake up to all the possibilities? I can help you, my friend. That is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Till next time, stay safe and stay well.